Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Hello and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast of, the cutting edge and next generation cheap fakes and deep fakes and shallow fakes. And oh my gosh, we have to get into something. I'm Philip.
I'm Brian.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We were arguing and I said, let's just record. Okay. I have to start just right off the bat with, okay, is this fooling anybody?
And I think that might.
Ready? Here, hold on. Whoa. I'll start again. Here you go. Listen.
I am Donald Trump, and I think that my digital voice is quite impressive. I don't know exactly how they made it, but I'm really impressed.
If anyone is faked out by that being a real Donald Trump, then I feel sorry for them.
I think that there are people that will be fooled by that. If there's a whole generation of people out there that have dealt with bad quality audio. If like let's say you put that on the radio. If you put that on the radio, and someone's listening on AM radio, it's going to be challenging for somebody to be able to discern the difference.
So there's a fidelity thing. Okay, hold on. Here's someone you might recognize too. 1 second.
I'm Barack Obama, and I think that my digital voice is quite impressive. I don't know exactly how they made it, but I'm really impressed.
So Barack, he calls himself Barack. Barack Obama. Okay. So anyway, this is a service called Lyrebird, LYREBIRD.AI, Lyrebird. And so today we're harping on, I still want to stand on our pedestal pedestal about how smart we are that we've been talking about deepfakes for a year and a half, before anyone else was talking about it in our context. But there's so many stories that are out this week, in particular about different types of fakes. You had one in the news, I think you wanted to bring
Pelosi's,
up.
Oh, Pelosi's, the drunk Pelosi. Yeah,
the Nancy Pelosi.
that drunk Nancy Pelosi. lots of interesting faking going on right now. And, you know, a lot of media attention directed at it. Obviously it affects media a lot, so they're gonna talk about it a lot.
If it bleeds, at least it's like, this is the disinformation. It fits right into a whole media narrative right now.
Yes, right about fake news.
Yeah. And you know, fear, AI is going to destroy the world. I cannot believe that this fakes anyone out. Like, drunk Pelosi is being shared as a meme, and it's what did you call it? It's not a deep fake. It was something else.
Cheap fake, shallow fake.
I think shallow fakes are something else, but light cheap fakes. Yeah, light fakes. There was an interesting. It's funny because it's this week is just laden with this kind of news. There was also a Mark Zuckerberg, what they were calling a deep fake. It was actually done with real AI, not clever editing. But it was Mark Zuckerberg. The source footage was from like a CNN news interview a year and a half ago. And they make him basically say that, you know, a bunch of, you know, dystopic things about how he realized that owning people's data was so important because of all the work that he did with the US government with Prism. And, but it's the worst voice actor pretending to be Mark Zuckerberg that I've ever heard it would have been better if they used that AI voice generation that I just played.
Nice.
I might have actually been more convinced. It's so bad. Like, at some point, do we need to actually, like, is there even a point in worrying about whether people can be faked out by this sort of stuff? Because the conversation around the fear of the, of a future where we could be faked out is enough to stoke enough fear and uncertainty.
Well, are we putting are we putting legitimate videos at risk as well? Like legitimate media at risk? It's, everything's a swirl of confusion right now. I think there's like, anyway, now when it comes to commerce and application here, I mean, we've kind of covered this quite a bit recently, but I just think the point that we're making is it's getting easier and cheaper to incorporate this stuff into media. And so creating content en masse is going to be a lot easier coming up here.
I think so. And when you see what is possible with deepfakes, it makes me wonder about the sort of posthumous celebrity, you know, image licensing, like the kind that, you know, Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe's estates have around those likenesses and endorsing of products that didn't exist. Right. You know, when they were around, I mean, Chanel is one thing, but I saw Elvis Presley is being used in American Crew ads now.
This is what I'm talking about, man. This is body data. Actually, can we just jump right in? Has anyone watched the new Netflix episode or Black Mirror episode with Miley Cyrus yet?
I haven't seen it. Give me a synopsis.
Okay, I forget the name off the hand, but effectively, there's this pop star, and her manager is really manipulative and controlling. And, but what they do is they scan her brain and they put it into a robot and, and they also, they capture her body data and then they basically knock her out and put her into an unconscious state while they go use her body data in nefarious ways, AKA like, you know, putting it out there for concerts in real time for everyone at any scale, you know, at any size, whether it's a hologram or, you know, or on, you know, on a screen or whatever it is. Like, it's this whole, spoiler alert, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for ruining the whole show. I'll have to say insert spoiler alert to Chris here. Insert spoiler alert.
That was a pretty big spoiler, actually. But
here's the problem. Right? Like, do you really believe that that's the eventuality?
Well,
like, that's where we're heading.
I don't know about scanning a brain and putting in a robot. I think that's kind of, that's a long way away. That part was ridiculous. The part about like leveraging people's likenesses for all kinds of things, I've been, you know, harping on that since, you know, our episode 8.
Right.
This is
actually has not aged so well. If you go back and listen to it, we need to find some other like a tentpole episode for us to reference. But if you want to go in that direction, I don't know that we need AI and deepfakes to.
No, like we don't.
What would the outcome be? Is it's to be more convinced, like to convince people more deeply of things. And I think that the thing that the consumer doesn't understand is that they're being convinced every day without seeing the likeness in the voice of someone convincing them. You're being convinced in other ways. For instance, a key metric that Instagram uses to tailor your likes or to understand your likes and dislikes and to tailor your news feed is they use the backtrack as a means of what caught your eye. So it's the gesture that when you're scrolling through the feed, you stop the feed and you go back to see what you just passed. That is a very important metric. And that backtrack tells you that something was interesting, and they have all sorts of machine vision to understand the context of the image. it doesn't need to be hashtagged bicycle for them to understand that there's a bicycle in there. And it doesn't need to be hashtagged hot girl to know that that was a hot girl riding a bicycle. If that's something that caught your eye, they know contextually that they can feed more information to you and they can reinforce that over and over and over. It's the reason why I believe I am into sneakers. It's not because I've grown up my whole life wanting to love sneakers and I've loved sneakers my whole life. That happened when I was 35. It's because Instagram kept shoving it down my throat.
Whoa.
And maybe I'm happy being a sneakerhead, but it's the same reason I bought a denim jacket that I knew was joking about 2 years ago. It's the reason that I buy anything nowadays. You don't need deep fakes. We're being deep faked all the time.
I think deep fakes are-
so that is future commerce. Like it doesn't mean that it has to like take a person's likeness.
It doesn't, but right? I think taking a person's likeness is 100% an efficiency thing. Also, I think that, you know, as we get into this, you're not going to see, like, I know for a fact, it's already happening. You know, it's not deepfakes, but body data is already being used. People's likenesses are already being used en masse,
sure.
En masse to create product imagery, right? So...
Yeah, we know this. Right. And in fact, we had one of those services on the show, Giannis Constantinidis from Super Personal, right? They are launching a commerce-focused product that, you know, allows people to place themselves into websites as the model. Well,
that's different than what I'm talking about. This is like using models data. This is Allure Systems. We had them on the show as well. Like,
okay. Oh, okay.
We're using, you know, models data in mass. It's an efficiency thing. Anyway, I think, you know, we've covered this at length. It's already happening. It's still going to continue.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
I have more.
Keep going.
So there was a trending video on YouTube this past week. Or the last couple weeks is a YouTube channel that I guess has been around for a while and has over 1 million subscribers. So they were fairly popular already. But a YouTube channel called Corridor Crew, which is a team of visual effects artists and filmmakers, they started doing like reaction videos to bad visual effects and talking about what makes good visual effects versus bad visual effects. And they did a whole episode last week on digital face recreation and really good examples of it and really bad examples. For instance, like a really good example is the Paul Walker in Fast and Furious when they bring him back from the dead, that, you know, they basically recreate his entire head and they superimpose it over his brother's body. They criticize the one, you know, they give you the reason why the one shot where he pulls up next to Vin Diesel, the one shot that's been criticized as being bad VFX. And then they show you all the other examples in the same movie of where you didn't even know visual effects were being used. What's really interesting about that is they compared deep fake versions of face replacement to actual VFX artist creations of face replacement. And someone has created a deep fake of Carrie Fisher replacing the end of the Star Wars movie. You know, when she turns around and it's, what's the bridge movie for A New Hope? It's the heist movie. What's it called?
Oh gosh.
Star Wars. Everyone's yelling at the radio right now. Film before A New Hope. I'm having to Google it's terrible.
It's after New Hope. It's between a new.
No, it's before A New Hope.
It's between that. It's between that and
the one with Jen Erso. What's the name of Rogue One. God, I need my brain on a Friday. My gosh. At the end of Rogue One, spoiler alert. Oh, I've got to put in spoiler.
This is the spoiler commerce.
So apparently if you haven't seen the movie, sorry, at the very end, the last shot in Rogue One is a digital recreation of Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia turning around. Someone says, oh, what was the thing that we just received? You know, because they had to get this, you know, they had to get the plans for the Death Star off the planet. And they send it at the last second to an Imperial or to a you know, a rebel ship, which turns out to be, you know, Princess Leia's ship. And they say, oh, what did we get? And she says, hope, right? But it's a dead eye, scary looking Carrie Fisher. It's not the live Carrie Fisher. It's not even live Carrie Fisher, like de-aged, like they did to Samuel L. Jackson in the Marvel movies. It's just a dead, lifeless, scary looking version of Carrie Fisher. And when the Corridor crew show you the deepfake version of that, that's modeled from all of the original trilogy from Carrie Fisher's performance there, it's terrifyingly good. So we are at that place where people with modern just IMAX can generate better visual effects with deepfake, you know, apps and deepfake technology than we can do with visual effects artists that have millions and millions of dollars in a budget can do with, you know, recreated puppetry. But so that's where we are, right? That's where we are. I just don't, I like what I'm trying to get to and what we're belaboring the point on, and why we keep coming back to this topic is I don't know that we need deepfakes to be tricking people into doing things and coercing people into doing things. I believe that people are being tricked and coerced every day by social media. And we are relying on social media more and more and more and more and more as part of our commerce engagement. And in fact, people are being tricked every day into believing brands are bigger than they are, that they're more ubiquitous than they are based on social media advertising alone. And social proof is very, very powerful.
Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, the results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
Yeah. So I hear everything you're saying. And I'm going to say that I think that there is going to be a place for deepfakes in advertising that's going to allow people to leverage different personalities and people at a much bigger scale than they are now. And it's going to be a regular part of our advertising world. I can almost put the Brian Lang stamp of guarantee on this. Like,
take that to the bank. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen,
deepfakes will be a part of advertising and marketing strategies. Here's a question for our audience, and this is something I'm gonna go here, and we'll, hopefully we get a little feedback on this one. I'm curious if our audience would be interested if we worked with Lyrebird to do something with our voices, and maybe create some content there. And so give us a ring. Shoot us a message. Give us a little feedback here. Do you want to hear?
Just email Brian
with an I at Future Commerce. Do you want to hear deep, you know, voice fake content, voice cloning content from us with our voices. And you know, that's not actually us talking. It's our voices being used.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no, but okay. I want to hear what people think too. There's, you know, I want to harp back on this topic because I'm social media is this incredible tool that is connecting people, but at the same time, when you look at, did you watch the Fyre Festival documentary? I'm talking about this a lot recently, but social media can trick people into believing that things exist that don't exist, right? It can trick people into
meaning does, like it does.
people. Not even can. Yeah, it does. It has already.
Yes.
You know, there's that. What was the story about the socialite in New York City that's like tricked everyone into being a, you know, that she was some heiress to some fortune?
Oh, Anna Delvey. I saw that story. Yes.
I'm sorry. Anna Sorokin? Yeah. Fake Manhattan socialite on the Washington Post. Anna Delvey, fake socialite who scammed New York City restaurants. It's just clever marketing, right? This is incredible to me, by the way, that a person, well, I mean, it's one thing, I guess, if you're scamming to get free stuff because, you know, you say that like you're assuming a false identity, you know, that's patently wrong. But when big brands do it and they put out a press release that they're doing something that they're not actually doing, or a software company sells you of the vision of a software that they haven't actually created yet, but they pretend like it's true. It's all the same thing, right? Like, it's building a bigger persona than you actually have. And she's a clever marketer.
You're putting brands on trial, or are you saying she should get off scot-free?
I'm putting brands on trial, and I'm saying that someone needs to give that girl a freaking job, just like Kevin Mitnick in the 80s. No, Kevin Mitnick went to jail in the 80s for phone freaking and for hacking and social engineering and lockpicking, right? And now he's a world-renowned security expert. This woman needs to be the CMO of Victoria's Secret because she's figured something out. Like she needs to turn a brand around and trick everybody into believing that they're socially conscious because they're not. Victoria's Secret is not a woke brand, and I'm going to keep standing on that soapbox until they yell at us very publicly. but do you see what I'm saying? Like, she's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. I think that there's a whole set of influences out there that maybe didn't Bill Belichick it, right? They didn't skirt the very edges of
they didn't morality. Pay enough people off. She didn't pay enough people off, is what you're trying to say.
But effectively, right. There's a whole set of influencers out there that are doing this within their bounds legally. But they've created brands, and you know, it's you know, it's all self-made. And a lot of them have become CMOs.
I we had talked about truth in advertising and sort of digital photo retouching. CVS has that campaign to, you know, give awareness when a photo is not been retouched. They mark it with a watermark in some way so that you know that there's a truth in advertising campaign there. I see more and more. I'm shocked. By the way, this is a whole other thing. Go to Target. Have you been to Target recently? Go to Target.
Yeah.
And look around. I want you to look at the pictures that are everywhere in Target now. You will see more diverse models that aren't just skin color and ethnicity, but also body shape and body size. And just like they look like real humans who aren't perfect models. And I think that that's becoming, you know, this element of perfection, right? The imperfection is what makes you kind of human, right? This element of perfection is not a thing you have a standard you have to try to live up to anymore. We're kind of evolving that in our advertising. I find it really interesting that the very opposite happens on social media with people, in that they try to, you know, they try to portray perfection. And that's kind of why brands, you know, you have brands that direct-to-consumer brands who are startups who have to portray having it all together and being perfect. And I don't know. There's something there. Yeah. I'm trying to connect the neurons. It's not happening.
And actually, there was an article in the Atlantic. I might've already mentioned this article, but about how the Instagram aesthetic is over, like everything was perfect and candy colors forever. Right. It was this whole like trend. Instagram became what it was through a very specific influencer aesthetic. And that aesthetic is in the midst of transformation.
There's a backlash, right, against it, exactly, is what you're saying.
Backlash by influencers and just by, you know, people that are looking at it. People are kind of sick of that entire aesthetic.
But are people sick of that from brands? Because I think they come to expect it from a brand. And in fact, there was a great article on modern retail by Hillary Milnes. She goes into a whole, so the article is called "The Term DTC is a Misnomer." Brands recalibrate strategies as direct businesses become more complex. There's this really interesting story about basically Harry's. When they were acquired by Edgewell, it turns out that 80% of their brand sales were offline. Dollar Shave Club is owned by Unilever. Casper sells in Target now. Direct to consumer isn't truly direct to consumer. It's a bit of a misnomer. And so what she proposes is that you reorient that just as a digital native brand, because they're not really truly direct to consumer, and they're not, you know, digitally native online brands either. To get actual customer traction, you still have to be omnichannel.
Right. Actually, there's a good article recently about Outdoor Voices and how they're,
Yeah, I saw that too. Also on Modern Retail, who are killing it right now. Call us. We'd love to make a podcast for you guys. So there's a really interesting sort of a take in this article about, you know, a lot of the things we've been talking about, that influencer culture and organic brand building really had earned media from unpaid influencer promotion. And that was really what drove social commerce for a number of years. But now that all the major platforms have ad services, that's being now crowded out. And what used to be really organic brand building campaigns and really strategic brand building campaigns that were influencer driven are now social media budget driven. And people are spending hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars on social advertising. And so this idea is that there's so many people competing for that same ad space. There's no true organic advertising anymore. It's getting more and more expensive. It's like an arms race. And eventually, all this DTC, like brand building was, will be looked at as a nostalgic era of a bunch of brands that were able to like get in before the land grab. And now that those days are over, the only ads you're ever going to see on Facebook from now on are the ones that are already established, and it'll be Coke and Pepsi and Ford and GM. And that's what you're going to get, because that's what all advertising eventually hurdles towards. So I find that sort of, and in that case, like maybe the dystopic futures that I was talking about being tricked every day is, you know, coming to an end. And we'll have to be tricked by other things. Maybe it's going back to outdoor retail or outdoor, advertising, more billboards.
Right? We're going back to billboards.
Yeah, we're going backwards.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. All of the main brands they're already kind of have taken over Facebook. Like it's already happened in many ways. Yeah. But I think there's new verticals and new ways of looking at things and new ways of advertising. Plenty of new spaces. We just spent our entire last episode talking about that. plenty of new spaces to expand. And also, you know, we've got Gen Z coming up. I mean, we've been talking about millennials for so long. Gen Z is an entirely different beast. The way that they think and communicate and purchase is just, it's not the same thing as millennials. and actually,
yeah.
you're writing.
Yeah, I have a whole blog about that. Exactly.
So there's going to be new ways to get after these customers. Getting out in front of that is going to be really important. And building up that, you know, sort of collateral with Gen Z now is going to be important going into some of the, you know, as they get more mature and have more money to spend.
Yeah.
But anyway, we didn't cover half the things that we wanted to cover today.
I know, but I do think that, you know, these are topics that are top of mind, not just for consumers, but for retailers, because I think everybody's looking for some sort of understanding of, you know, how the consumer reacts to things like this, because I think we're going to see more technology. If you want a bold prediction, I think in the next two years, we're going to see marketing, content marketing platforms evolve to, you know, more psychographic based customer segmentation to do direct selling and
one-to-one.
A lot of the generation of those, right? Yeah. And truly one-to-one. And more the way that it's not just about like how Wells Fargo sends me, you know, targeted ads and display ads that show kids with family, you know, family and kids, where someone else sees, you know, a single person with their dog. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like that could be like it could literally be me in that ad, right? Me enjoying a happy life with my, like, I really think that that's where marketing platforms will go. And that might not be like, that might be a powerful selling tool to a retailer, but it might be, you know, the kind of thing that the collective masses are going to rebel against. And so it's just a hot topic.
It is interesting. I agree with you on the one-to-one bit. And I'm also in the midst of writing an article on sort of what peak clienteling looks like.
Yeah.
So we've got, I think a little preview there. Philip and I are both writing, which is good.
there's some really cool stuff coming. Catch us at IRCE. We'll give you a preview. We'll be there. I guess when you listen to this, we'll be there next week. So it should be really, really interesting. Got a lot of really interesting content too coming up soon. So stick around for everything and make sure you never miss anything by subscribing on futurecommerce.fm. Subscribe to the podcast, wherever podcasts are found, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify these days has a big audience.
Spotify, yeah.
Anyway, retail tech moves fast,
but future commerce is moving faster.
Thanks, Brian.